Back to My Garden, episode 53.
Welcome to Back to My Garden. Discover your passion for gardening. Here's Dave Ledoux.
This just in, my top 20 favorite garden writers, and they're all women. Visit www.backtomygarden.com/top20garden writers. Attention garden lovers. Do you want to save time, save money, and have your most amazing garden ever? Receive free tips, strategies, and gardening techniques from passionate gardeners around the world. Join the VIP club for free today at www.backtomygarden.com/VIP. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world when you listen to this. I'm Dave Ledoux, and welcome to another edition of Back to My Garden. And today, fantastic guest. We're going to head out to middle of the country. Our guest, Amy, teaches do-it-yourself on a budget. She's an amazing blogger, and she blogs actively on indoor gardening, fall gardens, seeds and bulbs, and garden maintenance. And she even knows more than a dozen uses for extra zucchini. So without any further ado, let me welcome to the show from Minneapolis, Minnesota, Amy Andrahovich. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Glad you could join us. And I gave you a brief introduction, and I want to hear your story. And I'm sure our guests and listeners want to get to know you a little better, Amy. Take a minute or two. Share with us a little bit about your background and how you got into gardening.
Well, I grew up gardening. I grew up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and my dad was a big gardener, and my mom was really big into houseplants, so I kind of got a mix of both of those genes. So in the summertime, I enjoy gardening and still share that passion with my dad, and in the wintertime, I've got a ton of indoor plants, and so I'm constantly doing gardening through the whole year with plants indoors as well. So that's kind of my background. Got it from both my parents. So
fantastic. So you have two green thumbs.
Yep.
Year-round gardening, we're going to talk about that. Now, Amy and I are visiting here on Skype, and we're recording this for you now. Those of you driving or jogging or at the gym, please don't try to take notes. Keep both hands on the wheel. I'm going to put the links to Amy's blog on the site at backtomygarden.com. Amy's got an incredible resource site at www.getbusygardening.com. And make sure you follow her on Twitter at getbusygardenin. So that's GetBusyGardenin. And share Amy's stuff on Twitter. Amy, I consider you an experienced gardener because you've been doing it big part of your life. But what was your first garden like as an adult? Do you remember that?
Well, through college, I struggled with trying to figure out how to garden without having a yard. And so my dad actually gave me part of his garden during the summers when I'd be home from college. So I had a little area in his garden that I could plant whatever I wanted there. And then I also did that's when I really started doing a lot of container gardening and trying to figure out how to grow things in containers and out on a deck or on a back patio of an apartment I lived in or wherever I was, or inside. I grew as much as I could inside. So my very first garden of my own, when I bought my first house, actually, I live in suburbia now, so there was no garden. It was all green grass. And no trees or anything. So I started off digging up some sod and put in some tomato plants. And, 12 years later, I've got most of the sod dug up now. So,
wow. So you started with literally a blank slate.
Yep.
A blank canvas. Wow.
Yep.
Now, a friend told me in Minneapolis that the house developers take away the good topsoil when you buy a property. Did you find when you dug up the sod that you could literally plant right away, or did you have to bring in some topsoil?
Well, one of the things that I really focus on is budget gardening, because when I started out, I didn't have any money, and so I couldn't afford to, buy topsoil. I literally had a shovel and that I borrowed from my dad, and he helped me dig the sod up, and we planted directly in the ground. So, I mean, the topsoil isn't that terrible here, but the soil is very sandy. So you get a couple inches underneath that topsoil, and it is like beach sand. So since then have amended my soil quite a bit with my own compost, but then I just plant it directly in the ground to see what happens.
Fantastic. I love it. You just won some fans because A, we have a whole bunch of container gardener city dwellers listening to the podcast. And I want to say hello to all the listeners in Japan. We're now in 26 countries listening to this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So konnichiwa to my friends in Japan who are gardening. So Amy, you dug it up with a shovel and you threw in some tomato plants. What was the first season like for you?
Better than expected, actually. I my tomatoes did really well. I also got a bunch of, I later that summer dug up another area where I wanted to start putting in perennials. And so my dad, of course, shared perennials from his garden with me. So I put a bunch of perennials in one corner and some tomatoes and a couple of other vegetables in the other corner. And I mean, they did really well. Back then there were no trees, so everything got full sun all day long. And I was actually pleasantly surprised how well my garden did that year. I had pretty low expectations, but things did well. My dad's touch helped, I think.
It's interesting. Great gardeners are often taught by other great gardeners, aren't they?
Right.
Good. And now let's talk about this season because you're in zone, is it 4B?
Yes.
Zone 4B. So you have all the seasons.
Yes. Yes, we do.
What kind of year did you have for your garden? Did you get to garden a lot this year?
This has actually been one of the toughest years that I've had since I've bought this house and gardened on my own. Actually, the last 2 years have been really bad. But this year, we had a very cold and rainy spring. We actually had record-breaking flooding in June and July. And the cold weather vegetables like my broccoli and my cauliflower and my kale and all of those have been great. They've been better than I've ever had. I've had more cauliflower and broccoli than I've ever had. But on the other hand, my tomatoes and the peppers and the squash weren't very happy with all that rain. So this is the worst year I've ever had with tomatoes, unfortunately.
But you're right in that. Dab smack in the middle of that polar vortex, right?
Yeah.
That everyone was talking about.
Yes. Unfortunately, it's a very, very, I think it was the coldest winter in 50 years or some ridiculous thing. I don't know. It was terrible.
And when you say coldest in Minnesota, that means a lot.
Yeah, it was really, really cold. Obviously the coldest winter I remember ever.
So yeah, an amazing season for broccoli and a bad one for tomatoes.
Exactly. Yeah, I guess you can't have it all.
I'm not going to be prejudiced towards vegetables, but I know some people are more on the tomato side of the equation than broccoli.
Yep.
Did you learn anything from your garden this summer?
I learned that, because we just got a community garden plot, so I grew squash at the community garden this year for the first time, and I definitely learned that community garden is a whole different way of gardening, because I think every single bug that is possible infests the community garden. So I had dealt with squash bugs for the first time in my gardening years. And so I learned that squash bugs are a major pain.
I understand. That's different. The Brits over in England, they have allotment gardening. Same idea.
Uh-huh.
Did you get to meet any of the other characters, any of the other gardeners, and did a little community develop?
Yeah, that was one part that I really enjoyed was that I did get to meet other people. But for some reason, every time we go up there, it seems like there's not a lot of people up there. So the community piece of it that I was really excited about and expecting wasn't as strong as I expected that it was going to be. But I did get to meet some really cool people. So nice. That's nice. Yeah.
I think some gardeners grow through neglect. They just put it in the ground and see what happens.
Right. That's part of the problem with the community garden is they neglect it and then all of a sudden there's bugs and disease spreading everywhere. But oh well.
For friend of mine's a kindergarten teacher, and every kid brings every germ, and pretty soon the whole class has about 15 different kinds of colds.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same with community gardens. Is it brings a new challenge, and you get weird spots on the leaves of your tomatoes, and in your case, squash bugs.
Yep, absolutely.
Did you have a combat strategy, or was it a losing battle?
No, actually, I did have a combat strategy, and you know, I read early. It was a couple of years ago, actually, that I never know how to pronounce it, but is it Nasturtium? The flower is a good companion plant for squash, and it's supposed to repel the squash bug. And so this year I planted a whole, because I had heard from other people that the squash bug was really bad at the community garden. So I planted a whole bunch of Nasturtium seeds in the garden. And there was one area where they didn't grow. And that, interesting enough, was the area where the squash bugs were the worst. And so I didn't have a huge area that I had to fight, but it was pretty much confined to that one area. And I used soapy water and sprayed, kills them very quickly. The nymphs and the adults are killed very quickly by soapy water. And so that was my strategy. And every time I saw eggs, I destroyed them. And I got the upper hand, and I won the battle. So I was pretty happy about that.
Yeah, that's gold, Amy. That's really good tips. That's companion gardening tips. That's good.
Yes.
People listen to this for that kind of wisdom. So I could just picture you in a big floppy flowery hat with a spray bottle of soap and water just going at it.
Yeah, out there every day for a while there. It was between that and the squash borer, it was a battle for squash this year, I'll tell you that much.
What brought you the most joy in your garden?
This year? Or
What brought you the most joy this year in your garden?
You know, this year I kind of took a little bit of a year off. I mean, I still had my vegetables and all of my basic maintenance, but I didn't do any large new projects this year. So it was kind of nice just to sit back and relax and enjoy the gardens this year more than I have in the past. So I think that was a good thing for me, is taking a little bit of a break and just, you know, being able to enjoy it rather than constantly being out there working and not really having that time to enjoy what I've done over the years. So that was one thing. I think that was the main thing that brought me the most enjoyment this year.
I understand. You know, when it rains and you're not in the garden, it's like you're on the blueprint and you're drawing out new beds. And
right.
I moved 4 yards of dirt last week by wheelbarrow for my wife.
Wow.
I understand completely.
That's a good workout.
A lot of it was compost. We have raised beds too, and the nitrogen, and it just is every year. It's we do the chemistry lab tests where you put the soil in the little test tubes and put in the powder to measure everything, the NPK.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had some really bad beds with two, like the pH was nearly 8, and nothing would grow in them.
Okay.
And my friend Annie Haven says, when in doubt, check the soil.
Yep. That's great advice.
So you're 12 years in the same garden. What is gardening for you now? Is it physical? Is it the food? Is it more an emotional thing?
For me, it's definitely relaxing for me. It's kind of like my therapy, and it's rewarding, yep, because I get to enjoy the flowers, I get the vegetables, I get all of the, you know, all of the harvest from my garden. So those are definitely the main things and the reason why. I mean, I really just, it's my passion, you know, and to be able to indulge in that passion as much as I get to is just really great.
What I love about your blog is your teaching. You're sharing so generously. How did you get into blogging? How long have you been blogging? What have you discovered along the way?
I started my blog in 2009. I'm actually coming up on my 5-year anniversary here in a couple of days. I started blogging because I found that I was getting a lot of the same questions over and over from friends and family. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to start writing this stuff down. And then when somebody asks me a question, I'll just send them a link to the post that I wrote about that, you know, or I'll write a post about it. And then I'll have that. It's kind of almost kind of like a diary slash helping friends and family. And then I started getting followers, and I started following other blogs and really kind of getting into the whole blogging community. And I found that I really loved it and decided to just blog as much as I could. And especially in the wintertime, really put myself into that. I've learned a lot from that. I've learned a ton from that, and all the blogs that I follow, and there's just a ton of gardening blogs out there, and it's really great to see other people, what they're doing, their perspective, what people do in different zones. I've learned a lot over the years of blogging just about different growing zones. You know, you live in the same place your whole life and you garden in the same place. You really get focused, you really get a narrow focus on what you deal with. You don't even really think about what people in Texas or California deal with, or other growing zones that are completely opposite. So that's really interesting, and so I really enjoy other people's experiences.
Fantastic. Now, for those of you driving, make sure after you get home, check out getbusygardening.com. And Amy shares it's more than a blog now. It's turned into a resource site. What caught my eye was the blog post you wrote about uses for zucchini, and you have a good sense of humor. I love it, because normally this time of year, everyone's got way too much, and you can't give it away fast enough.
Yeah.
Except we had a terrible zucchini year.
Did you?
No females, all male flowers.
Oh, I wonder why.
Well, this is what led to the soil test, and the 8.0 pH, it was too acidic, so the zucchini under protest only made male flowers and not one fruit. And with three plants, I'll plant two or three and we'll only have one good one and, yada, yada. And not one zucchini this year.
Wow, yeah. That's really interesting. See, now you just taught me something. I had no idea that soil pH would do that to a zucchini plant. That's very interesting.
Well, I have a theory. Like, I'm an enthusiastic amateur. You know way more on this. I mean, I'm learning so much just from being a podcast host. Is my wife's a master gardener, and she goes, oh, we didn't compost enough in this bed. And I thought, well, we bought very expensive soil to put into this bed, which is perfect for flowers, but not the vegetables.
Right.
So, there's a reason why she's the master gardener and I'm moving the dirt. I know my role in the job here. And the zucchini was terrible. The sunflowers were half the height that they were the year before. And the tomatoes were just grotesque, like three little pine cone sized tomatoes on a plant. It's always going to be the soil.
My tomatoes. Yeah, my tomatoes are the same way. Terrible.
For the listeners, can you throw out two or three ways to get rid of extra zucchinis?
Well, no, I mean, get rid of them or use them, because I like to focus on how I can use them. I mean, I give them away to people if somebody wants them but I do find that most people don't want them because they have their own. So
yeah. Brown paper bag, ring the doorbell on the doorstep and run.
It doesn't work. Yeah. Cause in my neighborhood, everybody knows where they came from. So my favorite ways to use zucchini, I freeze a lot of my vegetables. So I do mixed vegetables into small containers that are easy to heat up for dinner. And those last us most of the winter. And then I discovered zucchini spaghetti noodles. And that's one of my new favorite ways to use up my zucchini, is using them for spaghetti noodles. And it's just awesome. And then I also have been doing a lot of dehydrating. I have a dehydrator that I got last year, and so I dehydrate a lot of my zucchini as well, which rehydrates really well. So,
man, you'd get along well with my wife. She's got the dehydrator going, and because we have so many cherry tomatoes, she makes little, they're almost like flavor booster packets for spaghetti sauce or bolognese sauce.
Yum.
Yeah, zucchinis. Well, I like the zucchini muffins and zucchini bread. And ever since we went gluten-free, it's been a challenge, though.
Right. I know. I stopped baking, too. It's just, it is delicious, but it's not very healthy, I tell you.
A lot of the listeners, Amy, are pretty new gardeners, and they love to hear about mistakes. It's a real bonding moment when, a guest comes on the podcast and shares a catastrophic oopsie moment from their gardening career. Have you ever done anything so wrong that you can laugh at it now in the garden?
Well, I haven't had any major catastrophic mistakes. If I'm not sure of something, I'm always calling my dad and asking him, what do I do, Dad? How do I do this? So nothing majorly catastrophic. I would say, you know, hindsight, I would have put my vegetable garden in a different spot, because now that the neighbor's trees have matured, my vegetable garden is part shade now, and it's only getting shadier every year. So that would be one thing that I would say over time was a huge mistake that I made, that I wish I would have thought, okay, well, there's a tree there, and someday that tree is going to be huge, even though it's small now. Maybe I should put this vegetable garden over here instead. So that would be one thing I would say is the biggest mistake I made.
Okay, it's tough to plan for a tree. I mean,
yeah.
When you're 25, you never think you'll be 30. And when you're 40, 50 seems a long way away. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good. You have perennial flowers too.
Yes.
Would you say you're more in love with your flower garden or your vegetable garden?
You know, I need both of them. If I had to pick between the two, it would be a mix of if I only had one garden plot, like I did when I first started, or when I was gardening in my dad's garden, I always had a mix of both. So I always have to have a mix of perennials, annuals, vegetables, and then I also love to mix tropical plants in there too. So it's definitely a mix.
Good answer. It was a test. That was good. Which pet do you love the most?
Yeah. No, right? Nice. Yes. I can't pick.
You know, Amy, our time is whipping by, and now is the time in the show when we play everybody's favorite game called Five Quick Questions. This is your chance to share wisdom and experience with novice gardeners. Are you ready to play?
Yes.
Question number one. In your opinion, what do you think stops most people who don't garden from even trying gardening?
I think the biggest, well, there's a few. I say fear, knowledge, budget, and time.
Mm. Yeah, that's something you do really well on your blog, is talk about DIY.
Yep. DIY and budgeting are my biggest focuses, because those were my biggest struggles when I first started on my own.
If you know anybody who's thinking about gardening, folks, send them over to getbusygardening.com with a notepad and a pen, and they'll come away with 10 great ideas for sure. Question number two. What's the best gardening advice that you've ever received?
I'd say don't take it too seriously, and just relax and enjoy.
Nice. How many kinds of tomatoes did you grow this year?
I had 5 plants, and I want to say two of them were the same. I can't even remember, because I haven't gotten any. So I've only gotten one tiny one, so I don't even remember which varieties I grew anymore.
That's inspiring, because we have people who think, you know, you plant 3 tomatoes, you get 3 tomatoes. And it's not, you know, the math is different. And you're 12 years of gardening experience right in that garden, and it's your worst year ever for tomatoes.
Oh, I know. I had high hopes of I was going to do tons of canning this year, and that's not going to happen.
You've cleared away shelf space, and you got the empty jars and rings. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Save those for next year, I guess.
Folks, if you have great tomato photographs, send them to Amy on Twitter at GetBusyGardening, just for inspiration for next year.
Yeah, I'll be drooling over your tomatoes.
I know you have a lot of friends in the gardening blog community. Can you recommend 2 or 3 of your favorite blogs for novice gardeners?
Well, obviously GetBusyGardening.com.
Absolutely.
But if I had to choose ones that were not my own, you said blogs, or can they be anything?
Anything, yeah. The internet's a big place for gardeners. Well,
yeah, and the two that I relied on the most when I first started, and that I still go to all the time, are Dave's Garden and The Garden Web. Those are the two that I have always relied on the most.
Garden Web, yep. Oh, folks, I'll put the links up in the show notes with hyperlinks, so you don't have to take notes on your iPhone with your thumb. Garden Web.
Yeah, the Garden Web has great forums, and you can go out there and ask questions and read other people's answers, and that's a really great one for getting help. And then Dave's Garden is a great resource for any type of plant that you could think of, what the growing requirements are for sun and watering requirements and everything. So that's a really great one too.
Isn't it extraordinary how generous a community gardening is?
Yeah, it is. It is great.
It's amazing. You know, I was chatting with a friend the other day in San Diego, and I said, "What zone are you?" He goes, "10A." And I go, "10A?" And he goes, "Yeah, we grow bananas." And I go, they don't have water, but they have it's sunshine all the time. Yeah.
Right. Everybody has their challenges. But yeah, can you imagine being able to grow bananas outside?
I'll think of them in February. And but, you know, if you don't know what's going to grow in your zone and you plant the wrong thing, mm-hmm. is it any wonder?
Right.
Books. Question number four, Amy. Can you recommend a favorite gardening book?
I'd say for somebody just starting out, I'd say two of the books that I love the most that I refer to all the time, Good Bug, Bad Bug by Jessica Walser is a really great one. Just over the last few years, I've really gotten into trying to identify different bugs in my garden, and knowing that that bugs are so important, because so many people, just as soon as they see any bug, they want to kill it and spray pesticides. And just understanding, it's so important to understand that bugs are very important in your garden. So this book is great. You can take it out to the garden with you. It helps you identify different bugs that you see, so you know good ones versus bad ones. And then I also have to say the second one is The Year-Round Vegetable Gardener by Nikki DeBoer. That's a really great one for learning how to extend your growing season if you live in a cold climate. So using cold frames and other things to be able to grow vegetables outside year round is really interesting, and really a fun referenced book as well.
I'm going to piggyback on that. My wife bought Nikki's book, and about 3 days later, there's a chapter on figs with Stephen Biggs. Uh-huh. And she went and bought a fig. I go, "What is that?" She goes, "It's a fig tree." I go, "What do we do with it?"
Except Stephen Biggs.
I did. So I interviewed him on the podcast.
That's
and
great.
He goes, "Well, you got to take it in every winter." And I go, "What? What? Like, where am I going to put a tree?" So now I have to clean the garage. And
oh, boy.
Yeah. No, it's okay. It's my golf clubs will go in the shed, and the fig will go where my golf clubs used to be.
That's great.
But it has a promise of an upside, is eating the fruit next year.
Yeah, that'll be really fun.
Oh, listeners, if you've never heard Nikki's podcast, she does a Sunday radio show from Halifax, and they archive the episodes. So if you search Nikki DeBoer radio show, you can get a reminder every Sunday, and you can tune in live on the web and listen to her talk to gardeners from all over live on the radio. It's really cool technology.
Yes, we were actually on the radio show last week. We, Jessica Walser, Nikki DeBoer, Tara Nolan, and I actually started a blog earlier this year called SavvyGardening.com, and we joined together on that. And so on Sunday, we were on Nikki's show on the radio talking about that. So that was really fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you ladies have a podcast yet?
No, we don't. We've been kicking around the idea, but we're all so very busy right now that maybe this winter we'll be able to figure something out.
Three women talking at the same time about gardening?
There's actually four of us.
Four? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Hey, we have fun together, too. Sometimes we get off topic and go down different roads, so it's fun.
You could do there's the long version podcast like Joe Rogan does. They just talk for 3 hours. Blow off the whole day, but they cover a lot of content.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, I better get back to my outline. Question five. This one's a fun one, and I'll give it to you as a two-parter. What's the number one thing that you think every gardener should try to grow next year? Or what's one thing that you're just itching to experiment with next season?
Well, I think every gardener should grow their own food. I mean, it sounds scary, and I hope that I didn't put you off with my story about my bummer tomatoes this year, but every gardener should definitely try growing food. Start with easy food like beans and peas, you know, just stuff that's super easy to grow from seed and that will give you a lot of food, and you'll be hooked as soon as you see that it can be really easy and fun. And then the one thing I want to experiment with, I don't know, I didn't really think about that one.
You don't have to answer.
Okay.
You can pass.
I think, yeah, I don't really have anything on my list off the top of my head that I can think of. I'm not going to be growing any figs, because I don't have any room to put them. I have enough indoor plants as it is.
If I could give you a wild suggestion.
Sure.
My wife found through rareseeds.com from Baker Creek, a spinach called Malabar spinach.
Oh.
And it said, yeah, it grows about 4 feet high, like a vine. So we made a little teepee in a 3x3 garden bed. And we planted one in each corner, figuring it would go up these little stakes of the teepee and have a little raise, you know, a little vertical. They grew 6 or 7 feet long.
Oh my gosh.
And they made spinach leaves as big as my head. And I have a rather large cranium.
Wow.
And sturdy and... It finished up in mid-August. We got spinach all season.
Wow, that's wonderful. Yeah. I wrote that one down. I'm definitely going to check that one out.
And if you know, Malabar. And who knew? This is one of the things I love, is just trying new stuff in the garden.
Right. Yep. I always try something new every year as well. But I usually don't know what it's going to be until I start looking at seeds.
Very good. You know, Amy, you've been an incredible guest. Let's make sure we send all of our listeners over to your Twitter feed at GetBusyGardening, so there's no G on the end because Twitter made it too short. And your awesome blog/resource website at www.getbusygardening.com. Make sure you share Amy's stuff on social media. Show her that you're... can listeners send you questions or reach out to you?
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely. I get questions all the time on my Facebook page, through Twitter, and then also on the blog itself on comments. So absolutely. I love getting, and I get emails sometimes from people too. So I love getting questions and having, you know, getting to know people too. So it's fun.
Dynamite. Amy, I want to give you the last word to the listeners today. Do you have either a note of encouragement or a pearl of wisdom to leave them with on their gardening adventures?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing is getting started with gardening. You know, my biggest concern when I first started gardening was that I didn't have any money. I was a poor college student. And then when I bought my first house, I was house poor. So I didn't have any money. I didn't let that stop me. I figured out ways that I could grow, you know, vegetables or grow, you know, flowers on a budget, tight budget, different ways to do things myself. Digging in the dirt with a shovel versus, you know, rather than hiring somebody to do it. So there are tons of ways that you can garden on a budget. It doesn't have to be expensive and it doesn't have to be scary. And I'm constantly trying to share different ideas and ways of getting started gardening on a budget, doing it yourself, all of those things on my blog. That's what I focus on. So yeah. So just have fun and enjoy it. And it doesn't have to be expensive. So
fantastic. Brilliant, Amy. You were a fantastic guest. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Dave.